I am going to, before I get into my sermon, I'm going to take a break because a teaching moment kind of just happened a little bit. You know, as we talk about somebody speaking something and that being told and, oh my gosh, like it came true kind of thing. So if that's weird for you, like I get it, but we at like Faith, like we still believe that God moves and talks and heals. So there's a whole theology called cessationism that we don't partake in. Cessationism is and there's churches out there, and there's plenty of them, and they believe that God stopped moving in those ways, that at the end of the apostolic age, that means like when Paul died, that God stopped speaking and moving in certain ways. And I'm like, I don't read that anywhere. Like I don't read that in the text. Like God is present, and he is, so they believe that at the creation or the completion of the canon of the Bible, God stopped moving at a certain time. And I'm like, I don't believe it. And one of the reasons why I don't believe it is because I've experienced in many ways how God moves and heals and speaks and moves among us. And don't get me wrong, I'm a continuationist. That means God continues. So but I have a seatbelt on a little bit, right? I keep myself in check sometimes because you can kind of go overboard sometimes, but that is, if it's weird, I'm sorry, but it's so encouraging in my mind that God is still moving and speaking and he's actually engaged with his people, and it's an amazing word. So anyway, you know, as we talk about these things and you hear us talk about this, that's why when, you know, we ask people to come up and be prayed over, right? We believe that God still heals. You know, when we pray and we ask God to do certain things, we believe that God still moves in the miraculous. And that God can still move. And listen, there are stories upon stories upon stories of even people being visited by Jesus himself, right? Test everything, the Bible tells us. But don't discredit and throw it all out. God doesn't move that. God doesn't move that way anymore. Who are we to say how God wants to move in and through? And so, anyway, just a little teaching moment when it comes up, when I hear these things, I'm like, yes. Yes, God is still moving. He's still active. He's still present. He still desires to move in and through us. So anyway, just my little rant on cessationism versus continuationism. So if you haven't, the Alliance stance is we are continuationists, but we believe that God still moves and heals, and he's so actively engaged with his creation. It's good stuff. Anyway, all that being said, let's get into our stuff this morning. I won't bore you anymore with theology. Anyway, isn't that why we're here? To be bored by theology? Oh, I, you know what? Get out, you know? Oh my gosh, so awesome. You know what? This is a great segue. You know what? I really hate disingenuous people. like this is like, just be truth, man. No. Oh my God! So, who here hates disingenuous people? I'm just curious. Anybody here just absolutely like when you're fake or phony, or what you put on the forefront isn't exactly what you get, right? For example, like we've all probably been invited to a pyramid scheme at some point, right? Right? You probably. if you've never seen this episode, it's fantastic. But like if you've like, did you ever have a friend that says, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And you're like, wow, how are you? Oh, I'm great. By the way, I just started a new bit. And you're like, oh, like, it's a pyramid scheme, right? Has anybody ever done the timeshare thing? I'm just curious. Anybody done timeshares? Has anybody ever sat through a timeshare presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Some of you have, right? I would never subject myself to that. The thing is, if you come to us for 90 minutes, we're going to give you like an extended stay or holler, like hotel rooms and vouchers for all these things. Am I right in understanding that? Is that how this goes?
That was our honeymoon.
A timeshare presentation?
Yes.
Oh my God. So they say, if you just give us your time, we're going to give you this free stuff. But in reality, what it really is aggressive, high sales driving pitches with guilt. And so like I was doing some research this week on what all these tactics they use. They they don't let you go to the bathroom, and they don't let you, like, they keep you there for, like, 4 to 5 hours to pressure you into saying yes. Like, it's a hostage situation. I'm like, tell them no and roll out. Like, you know, like, oh, my gosh. But the thing is that there's an under the current, under the surface desire for you to buy something. It's not free. And so you go there, and you think you're getting this great thing, and it's just, it's disingenuous, right? And that drives me crazy, because that's not how I operate, right? That's not how I operate. Like, what, like, you guys know Matt York for 7 years now. Like, what you see on the surface is, like, what you get. Like, for the moment, like, you get, like, you knew what you were hiring, and you got this. Like, I try not to, there's not a whole lot under the surface that you get. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I just try to be who I am to you guys, right? I don't try to sell you or keep secrets or anything like that. That's just how it goes, right? Like, for Pete's sakes. Poor Deb, she's got to deal with me. Like, she gets, like, Deb gets the real deal, like, all the time. Like, hey, what's this charge? Oh, my gosh, I put that on my, like, I always order things on my card, like, on the church's card, because it's saved in my Amazon account. And I'm like, oh, I always think she's, like, I don't really want to think I'm embezzling money. So, like, it was a $25 Halloween costume. I'm like, oh, my gosh! Like, I'm going to get, like, she sees the real me. I'm just a mess. Like, that's just how it works. But, like, but you get, like, I don't think it's a hard sell to say that you, people who are authentic and who are transparent are, oh, there we go, are, like, or the way that it's, that who we are, right? That's who we are. And I just dislike when people try to sell you something who they're not. Or there's something under the surface that you're like, that you get burned by because you gave them your trust and you gave them your heart or whatever that might be. So anyway, one of the reasons why I love this time of year is people are generous and they're giving. And for the first time, people can actually, like, put down the guards and actually, like, care about other things. And so, you know, when we look at Christmas and being present for Christmas, I want to take a look at a story about somebody who the world was changing around them. And on the outside, they were all like, no, this is a great thing. But on the inside, they were there was a lot going on. So anyway, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. That's where we're going to be. And we're going to be taking a look at a man by the name of Herod. Herod is a key figure in the Christmas story. Herod is a king. You might know him. History records him as Herod the Great. We'll get into his story a little bit, but he was not a nice guy by any stretch of the imagination. And so, like I said, it is always the case, especially in the Bible. And so let's get into it in Matthew chapter 2. I got it. Good. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." But then Herod called the Magi secretly. Notice, secret. Have a little conversation, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I may too may worship him." So kind of let's kind of walk through here, just to kind of set the scene a little bit. This is what we find: during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. To give you a kind of an idea of what's going on, King Herod, this guy, who is this guy? Not a nice guy. He's a ruler of the Jewish people. He's one of the last kings that Israel ever had. So just keep in mind when you look at the history of Judea, you know, Hezekiah was on the throne and Jehoiakim were on the throne. Babylon comes in. If you ever read the book of Daniel, Babylon comes in, takes them for 70 years, sends them to Babylon. They're in Babylon for 70 years. They get sent back to Jerusalem to be there. Malachi will be the last in that 400 years. Kings come and go. Rome begins to become a more of a powerhouse. King Herod is a puppet to the throne. He's one of these guys who's like a political kind of opportunist. He uses certain loyalties and marriages, and he's always on the throne. Like Cleopatra's on the, like doing her thing down in Egypt, and he's kind of like what her and Anthony. It's a mess. Anyway, history records him as not a nice guy. He killed wives and children just to protect his throne, right? That's what he did. Like, that was his job, right? His next son is going to follow suit. I don't know if you know this or not, but his son is Herod also. But you know him as the guy who killed John the Baptist and the guy who Jesus goes before, and he puts the purple robe on Jesus. That's this guy's kid. And so not exactly the nicest people. And so when you read this, you got to kind of read between the lines about what's going on here. When King Herod heard that there was another king in town, notice he's disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. All of Jerusalem is like, is this really coming to be? Is this the Messiah? Is this what we waited for? Herod, on the other hand, is saying this is a threat to who I am. The greatest news in the world has come to Herod, and he's like, I have my own motives. I have my own reasons. I have things going on here. Like, the world is changing around him, but because of the landscape that's in here, it's not doing a whole lot. So kind of here's what I want you to do. Deep down inside, things are not right in Herod's heart. There's rage, jealousy, paranoia, right? All these things are preventing him from experiencing the greatest thing that is happening. Think about that for a moment, right? The world is changing, and he is missing out because of what he is holding on to, right? He wants to protect what he has. He wants to protect his throne. He's, you know what? He's already so far in that he's already killed his wife and kids, right? I'm so far in, I might as well keep on going with this. Like, Jesus is coming. Jesus is moving. And what he says is, where I am right now is better than going that direction or giving it all up for some religious experience. And so we read this. This is what's happening, and Herod is saying, I don't want any of it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is happening. This is what Jesus is doing, and Herod says, no. I don't want it. I want to hold on to whatever I have. I want to hold on to that anger. I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to be present for this Christmas because I'm holding on to whatever it is that is preventing me from experiencing Jesus. By the way, how hard it is to find a hurdle these days? I tried so hard. I was going to build one today and actually like have a hurdle here. I couldn't find any places to find it. They're like $50, $60. I was going to use it for like a 3-minute illustration. So I was going to have a hurdle here for you guys, but I don't. So I have pictures. Anyway, so the point is that why is it that so often we put these in our way when it comes to experiencing Jesus? Why is it that when we want to experience Christmas or we want to experience what this season is all about, we put so many hurdles in our path? For Herod, it was anger, it was jealousy, it was a sense of having it all, his prominence, his money, whatever, his power, whatever it is he's holding on to, he was missing out on the most amazing thing that is out there. And so he puts up all these stumbling blocks before him and miss out on what God is doing. And so I want us to understand this because it's my desire that we don't, on these pages that you're reading, is the most important thing in your life. That's a bold statement, but it's true. Jesus has come. Jesus has descended. Jesus has moved so that you can be free, right? I mean, we are talking about being bold in our faith. Let us be true about the gospel. Let us speak the truth of the gospel. But so often we miss out on what God is doing because of the things we put in our own path. Notice this. Offset this by this. The Magi, when they get to the house, they see the child with his mother Mary, and they bow down and they worship him. I love this. Let me just highlight this for a second. They worshiped him. I love it. The Magi, these three guys that we know nothing about, right? They travel, and we'll get to them in just a moment, right? These guys risked their lives. They dropped everything. There's no hidden motives. There's just worship when it comes to the Magi. By the way, the Magi, when we talk about the Magi, there's not a lot written about them, but what we believe about them, it says they come from the east. So most likely Iraq. And we believe, according to scholars, that they are still people left over from the Babylonian captivity. That, you know, but there was a big figure in Babylon at the time. I don't know. A couple of lions. This guy had a little run-in with lions. I don't even know who this guy is. His name is Daniel, right? Daniel was a prophet who spoke all these amazing things, by the way. Good diet, evidently. Eating vegetables gets you strong. But, like Daniel, amazing guy in the story, is a prophet and spoke all this truth. And if you remember, when Nebuchadnezzar sees God move in amazing ways, the fiery furnace, the way that he protected Daniel, he bowed down and worships the true God. There is still just people who are holding on to the truth from the scriptures and the things that they experienced, and they traveled all the way to Judea. 671 miles. We're going to talk about that in a minute. 671 miles to Jerusalem. And when they find him, there's no ulterior motives. There's just worship. That's amazing. And so I want to take a look at three emotions that are kind of here on display at Christmas, and I want us to be people who kind of examine our hearts and say, what are the hurdles that I am putting up in my own path that are preventing me from experiencing the fullness of who Jesus is this Christmas? And so I want you to join me as we look at Herod, we look at the Magi, and we look at this story in Matthew. We're going to see people have some different emotional reactions to Jesus. And I want us to begin to weigh that against ourselves. So anyway, join me as we pray. Lord, I ask that you would guide and lead us this morning as we look at these different type of emotional reactions. As we look at the story of your birth, as we look at the story of the Magi, and we look at people in the story like Herod, who had all types of things under the surface. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us to know this truth, to know where we are, to know how we're called to respond to the gospel message that is on display for all to see. And as we enter in this last week of Christmas, as it gets closer and closer to that beautiful day that we celebrate your birth, Lord, allow us to begin to cast off some of these things and maybe for the first time experience your fullness. Lead us here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. A couple things that I see in this passage that I hope you see too. One of the emotions or one of the kind of ways that people kind of deal with Jesus, the first one is kind of a big one, and it's this kind of wait and see, right? So, by the way, notice it says, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him too, right? So, Herod is has got these magi, and what he's saying is, I want you to go figure out what's going on, and I want you to come back to me and tell me all about it, right? You go ahead and figure it out. You go have whatever it is that you're doing, and then come back to me and tell me if it's worth my time or not. And so, that's where you see this, just bring back to me the report. By the way, and the truth is, Herod just really wanted to kill Jesus. I don't know if you know this or not. Herod just really wanted to kill Jesus. I don't know if this is like in your mind or not. He did not want to worship Jesus, by the way. He just wanted to know where he was so he can go find him and kill him. That's the truth. That's the ultimate underlying motive. But this idea of you go and figure it out so that I can kind of see if it's true or not is such a modern day kind of way we deal with religion. And a lot of people kind of feel this way. Like, hey, you go ahead and have this nice Christmas experience. You go ahead and you figure it out. You come back and tell me if it works or not. I'm going to wait and see if this pans out. Maybe some of you have family members like that, right? You know what? That's my wife's thing. I'm going to let her do her thing. She's into this Jesus thing. I'm just going to wait and see how it pans out. And they miss out on just what God is truly doing in their lives and what God is doing around them. And they're not seeing it. Like for Herod, I mean, God is moving from heaven to earth. Think about it. Just like, God is like taking up residence, right? Like he's like buying property, right? He's moving into the neighborhood. And Herod's like, meh, you tell me. You tell me if it's any good. You do the work. You put in the time. You put in the effort. You go to your nice little church service. You sit there and pray. You tell me if God moves or not, and I'm going to see if it's worth my time or effort into it. And unfortunately, there is a pandemic, I believe, especially in the U.S., about people that are just like, you know what, I'm just going to ride coattails. That's my wife's thing. You know what, I'll have an 11th hour confession if that's the thing. Then, and you miss out on what Jesus is desiring for your life. Right? And it's a shame. It's a shame. By the way, according to historians, Herod died an awful death. Awful death. In fact, he had some type of bowel disease that did not go well, and it was awful. Maybe fitting, I don't know, but disappointing knowing he was so close, but yet so far. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart as a Christian, as a pastor, as someone who deals with this on an everyday basis, where like God is not something that people desire, but it's just something, well, we're going to see if this pans out. There's all these great options for me. Like, when you think about your eternal state, or some people just don't even care about their eternal state. Like, when you think about these things, I'm just going to wait and see how it pans out. And we have a world that are heading, and man, if Herod isn't the poster child for just holding on to your guns, right? Sticking true to your guns and holding on to your rage and anger and bitterness and missing out on what God is truly doing. I don't know of a better poster child for it. So, this isn't something new, but it's something just as disastrous. And so my desire, when you see Herod in this story, he is a gleaming example of our call to experience Jesus in all his fullness. We're not called to wait and see. That's not faith. Faith is putting our heart into something we cannot see. Even Jesus said it. Blessed are you who have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have believed and never seen, is what he says to Timothy in John chapter 20. So this is what's called faith, and people miss out on it. Herod missed out completely. You know what? He's holding on to all those things. This is mine. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to give it up. No, I'm hurt. I'm in my pain. God is, you know, whether he believes that God has given that position or whatever, but he's holding on to it, and he's missing out on what God is doing in the moment. It's heartbreaking. And so many, I think, there's so many people out there that if we were just to give up on the things that we cannot control, and the longer we hold on to anger and bitterness and all these things under the surface, and we are not genuine people who are just seekers and want to experience Jesus, the longer we just miss out on what God wants to do in our lives. So first one I want you to know, this example of wait and see. But I'm going to offset that. There's another reaction here. And it's joy. First you have Herod, who's wait and see. The next reaction is joy. Take a look at the Magi, right? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him, right? They come to this. These guys, by the way, can you imagine traveling 671 miles to get to Jerusalem, and you got to go another like 3-4 miles? They're like, oh my gosh, right? I don't even like going up to just moms. You know what I mean? Like, for Pete's sakes, I don't want to get in the back in the car. But can you imagine getting back on your camel or whatever they were and go and keep on going? Because they're like, ah. But look, it says when they saw the star, they came to the house, they saw Mary, they saw Jesus. It says they were overjoyed. In fact, the actual words there are like mega joy. That's what, like, they had mega joy. That's the wording there. Like I said, we don't know too much about them, but what I do know is that they had this great sense of joy. So let me ask this. When was the last time that you felt joy? Last time, right? I guarantee it's fresh in your mind, right? Right? Fresh in your mind for the Lock Stanfors. Birth of a child, the day you got married, right? You got that promotion, whatever. When was the last time that you, the warm and fuzzies were just bloop, 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 right? Just up to the surface, right? When was the last time that you felt unfiltered, like pure joy? Maybe for some of you, it's been a while. Maybe for some of you, it's been a little bit. Last weekend? Good. It doesn't take much for you, Elaine. I know that. We all know that. So awesome. But think about it. Like, they come to the star. They see a star in the sky, and all of a sudden they feel joy. Herod, What's going on over there? Right? The Magi? Joy. Joy. Right? And why? Why do they have this joy? There's a couple things, I think, right? Everything just makes sense. Right? We came all this way. The prophecies told us, the scriptures told us what was true. We get there, we find Mary, like, they had to search this town. I don't know how they did it, but they find Mary and Joseph in the house or wherever it is, whether it's at the manger scene or whether it's years later, I don't know. I don't care. They find them, and when they find them, it all makes sense. We got on our camels back in Iraq. We're here. It makes sense. Everything just works the way it's supposed to work. It's so true. It was truth on display. Like, it just made sense, right? There was no strings, no lies. It was just God's love on display in the person of Jesus. And it brought joy. Joy. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us. The Christmas message is all about this, right? Like, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy in the hearts of the people. For unto you in the town of David has been born to you a Savior. The angel said this in Luke chapter 2. Why are we surprised that when somebody finds Jesus, they find joy? And so think about the last time you had joy. This is the most important aspect of the Christmas. We're probably going to sing Joy to the World. We're probably going to sing. I don't know if it's on the list. Is it on the list? We're going to sing it. Like, Joy to the World. We're going to sing the song. And some of us, like, have not experienced it for quite some time, right? And my desire is, where are we putting? What things need to happen? What is under the... What are we holding on to? What are we kind of looking out at all these people having these great experiences, and we're missing out on what God is doing because we're holding on to whatever it is? How many Herods are here that are just like, I'm just going to wait? Like, no! Like, this is on display for you. This is meant for you. And it's found in Jesus. So you can be someone today who will be like, well, I'm going to see how this pans out. Or I can be someone who has joy. Joy in my heart for what God has done. And so I see, when I look at this story, I see wait and see. I see joy. Then I see the last thing. I see giving with no string attached. Hang tight. I'm not talking about money for a moment. This is not going to turn into a money sermon. All right. But notice this, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First thing they did, by the way, I love this, before they give, they do one thing, they worship. They get down on their face, and they notice the deity of Jesus, and they worship him. And then they give. They worship, and then they give freely. First they worship, and then they give. I love these two things are kind of given together, by the way. Take a look. Like I said, 671 miles. That's Glenmore to Savannah, Georgia, by the way. That's how far they came. On camel, by the way, or horse, whatever it might be. Can you imagine? Savannah, anybody here been to Savannah? How long did it take? Yeah. Okay. If they came from Babylon, which is in modern-day Hela in Iraq, to Jerusalem is 671 miles. And I'm like, I wonder how, I'm like, can you, like, they are bringing these gifts. They've had these gifts for almost 700 miles, right? Can you imagine at some point you'd be like, I'm just using it for myself, right? There's a whole bunch of gold right there, right? They were holding on to it this entire time. And when they find Jesus, they could have been like, dude, I carry this stupid thing. Like some of you don't get rid of your kids because you held on to them for 9 months, right? you know it's true, okay? Like, the point is they held on to all these great gifts, and when they experienced Jesus, all of a sudden there's this giving attitude. Notice, they worshipped him, and then they opened their gifts and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all which were probably very, very lucrative, or they could have got a good bit of money for it, and they give it to Jesus. To give with no strings attached. This is a season, right? Herod, I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to sit on my throne. I'm just going to wait. Magi, We're going to have joy, and that joy is going to be manifested in giving to those around them. You know, as we look at our church, as we look at how we're desiring to be more bold in our faith, I did want to share just an update page. I have a little update from you. So last week, Diane, our neighbor, who lived directly across the street, right? She is new to the neighborhood. She actually brought over a card and a gift for my kids. It was like a Hess truck, right? So she wrote she says, "I want to give this to you guys. I love what you guys do for our neighborhood. I'm glad that you're here." That's the first time I think I've heard in 7 years I've heard actually somebody say, "I'm glad that your church is here in our neighborhood." That's amazing, right? And that's why we desired to make an effort to keep doing it. And by the way, this is not going to stop. We're going to keep trying to find opportunities to get into our neighborhood and care for those around us. Why? Because after we have joy, we worship, and then we give back to those who need it. Like, that is the gospel. This is what we are called to do to our community. We give. No strings attached. No ulterior motives, right? Herod's sitting there like, "Oh, yeah, I want to go. Yes, you come and worship with us because we want your money," or no. And by the way, I'm not talking about you giving to me. I'm talking about us giving to others. This is what I'm talking about. When you worship and you have that joy, all of a sudden it manifests and it's us giving to those around us. No, like open-handed giving back to those around us. They worship and they give. They do not complain, and they do it out of a sense of devotion. No ulterior motive, just devotion, founded by joy. This morning, we have an opportunity to take a look at ourselves and understand the most important thing in your life is on these pages. And it challenges us to live a life of devotion. And as Christians, we are called to live apart from ulterior motives. We are called just to be present with our God. And as we are present with our God, He moves in our hearts to have joy and to give. This is what He's called us to do. And so this morning, we can take a look at this story, and we can find where we are, right? I can tell you right now, you're either Herod or Magi, one of these two places. You either have joy or you're not. you're miserable this morning, right? I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to wait and see. I'm just so angry, right? We could be people who you get what you see. The Magi, they came to Jesus. And they found exactly who He presented Himself to be, the king. Nobody would just give gold, frankincense, and myrrh after traveling 671 miles just to some random people because they didn't believe it. They truly believed it, and they gave out of a sense of joy. This morning, don't miss the greatest news you've ever. The story of Christmas is the most important story. It is the story of redemption, that Jesus moved into the neighborhood and wanted to be with you, wanted to be close to you. He wants to be close to your neighbor. He wants to be close to your kids. Jesus wants to move so that we have faith and see what He's doing so that it would fill our hearts with joy and that we would give back to others. So this morning, we have maybe some work to do. Because maybe we see too much of Herod in our hearts today. Or maybe we don't see the joy that is supposed to be here because we've been looking at the wrong things or focused on the wrong things. Or maybe when we give, we're like, whatever that might be. And let's begin to change that today. And I don't mean, don't give in the back of the, give to those around us. Share the gospel. Make someone's day better. So they say, "Why?" And you're like, "Jesus. And may He get the glory." So be present this Christmas. Be present. And speaking, let's go before Jesus now. And let's just go before Him. Lord, today is a day that we believe that You still move among us. We already talked about that. We believe that You are still continuing to move among Your people. And there might be people here today filled their hearts with the wrong motives. We're holding on to pain or bitterness or anger. We're holding on to past hurts, or maybe we're waiting to see how this will all pan out, and we will miss out on the greatest thing that You're doing. There are some of us here who have not experienced joy for a very long time, and it is found in You and You alone. Maybe today is a day where we are people where we have just kind of just moved inward. And we really don't care what's happening around us, even though we're called to give of ourselves to those around us, to love our God, to love others, and to love ourselves. And so, Lord, guide and lead us today. Help our people, my people, your people today, to experience the joy that comes through you. Lord, if there's anybody here who is waiting and seeing, let the wait be done and let us experience you. Let us fall before you. Let us do what the Magi did, to worship you today. You change hearts. You change destinations. You change from darkness to light. These are the works that you do. Jesus, would you begin to do the work today, if not already? And let today even be today when we turn our hearts from darkness to light. Lead us this today. Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.